We hope today's edition of The Hour of Power will be encouraging and uplifting for you and your family. If you have a prayer request you would like to send after the program, email it to hourofpower32@gmail.com. You're listening to a broadcast produced daily, Monday through Friday at 9 a.m. on therockchristianmusic.com and live on Facebook on The Rock Christian Music page. Or you can find us on the Paragon Communications app and take us with you everywhere. Let us pray, let us pray, everywhere and every way, every moment of the day.
Good morning. You are tuned in to the Hour of Power this morning. It is the most powerful hour of my day. I'm Monica Lovell in the driver's seat this morning. The beautiful Tina Dobbs is over there running the iPad. Our guest this morning is Nicholas Nathaniel The Net Medina. How are you doing this morning, brother?
Doing well.
Amen. If you have a praise report or a prayer request, you can send that to our email, hourofpower32@gmail.com. You can also put it in the comments or send it in a private message. We'll do our best to get it on paper so that we can pray for you about halfway through the program. We do record in two parts, and we'll get that posted shortly after the program is ended. Our sponsors for today are Crosscut Creations by Joe Thompson and Joshua's Crossing Ministries. Joshua's Crossing Ministries is located right here at the Promise Center in Elk City, Oklahoma. Remember to like, share, and comment so that we know you are tuned in this morning. I think I covered it all. Would you please pray to start us out, brother?
Thank you, Lord Jesus. I thank you, God, for everything you have done, Father. I pray that your name be lifted on high. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen, amen. I like your title this morning, Faith Over Feelings.
Faith Over Feelings.
Boy, howdy.
Mm-hmm.
That's where my fight is.
Mm-hmm.
I got to fight my feels, man.
Yeah.
On the daily. On the daily.
I know it.
Well, I got my Bible. I got my notebook.
All righty.
I got my pen and my coffee.
All right. Me too.
Let's go.
Okay. Faith Over Feelings. Let's talk about feelings, first off, liars. Let's call our feelings liars. All they do is lie to us on a continuous basis. I feel this way. That's a lie. It doesn't matter because that's not going to last. But I want to start today saying that faith is trusting that what Jesus did was enough. Period. Point blank. I want you to do that. Is when you think, I need to have faith. Faith in what? That what Jesus did was enough.
Amen.
There should be nothing else that's on top of this thing. All we do in life is live by that faith that Jesus is enough. You know, Paul tells us, he says, I am persuaded that what I have committed to him, he is faithful to preserve until the end. He's saying, I have committed my life, my whole being into him, Jesus Christ. And I'm persuaded that he is faithful to keep that. He is faithful to preserve that until the day's end. I've been going through these things in life, and I feel like I go through a lot for the glory of God. So praise the Lord Jesus Christ. A lot here lately has been my feelings of everything more intensified than they ever have been in my entire life. And the whole time through, I haven't heard like I usually hear. I haven't felt like I usually feel. I haven't had that zeal people say that I usually have. But I press on in the name of Jesus because I know none of these depict who I am. I could go my whole life without hearing his word again. But I know that when I leave this world, I will enter into his presence forevermore with him because of his faithfulness. I don't live by these feelings. So I want to read you something, a story. It's a little lengthy, but it's not too lengthy. Just to kind of set up what we got going on. So there was a son who had a father who planted this beautiful garden. He sweated when toiling, got calloused hands, and labored hard for it to produce beautiful plants. with great fruits and vegetables. This garden always received sunlight and the right amount of shade and rain. It was shaded in just the right places by beautiful smelling trees. One day, the son, filled with emotion, sinned against his father. The father wasn't discouraged by this, but it bothered the son deeply. So much so that he kept doing it, thinking that it was too late to reconcile with his father, that he would never earn back the love of his father. The father, seeing that his son couldn't understand he loved him more than any of his sins, the father always wrote his son love letters, but the son sent them back unread, thinking that they were just letters to tell him what was wrong and what he did wrong. Years later, the father died. The son, moved by this, went to see him during the funeral, not knowing that something was waiting for him. A young man approached him, saying he was his father's servant, and he had worked with him for years since the son had left. He told the son that his dad never stopped talking about how good of a son he was, that his dad would sing songs of him and think about him all the days of his life. Even more, the servant said that he had given his life to the master, seeing how much that the father loved the son, so that one day when the son returned, he can inherit everything the father had stored up for him. In amazement, the son was taken back. He thought his father didn't want him around because of his wrongdoings, and on top, he left him. The servant continued to tell him that the garden his father had worked so hard on has become an amazing paradise of land, and all his wealth he left to his son. The son's first thought was, "I'm not worthy." But the servant was persistent in letting him know that the father knew he would feel that way, and told him that his father wanted nothing in return but just for him to enjoy the benefits, that everything the son could have done, the father and the servant did with the enjoyment, knowing that one day the son would come home and get to feel and experience the love of his father that he never got during his life. His benefits and his words, because all the love letters the father had written to the son, he saved for him to read when he didn't feel worthy. And through those letters, he got to know his father more and more. Their servant reminded him every day and helped him through every struggle. He wasn't worthy on his own, but by the father's love and the servant's work, he became worthy. So I want to say this story... The Lord gave me this story the other day. I do not write at all. If anybody knows me, I can't even write down a revelation that God gives me. He gave me this story, and I said, "Oh, that's a beautiful story." And then as days gone by, he said, "Son, I wrote this for you." Because to remind me that a lot of the times I don't feel good enough. I mean, I'm talking every single day of my life. I don't feel good enough. But I owe it all to Jesus. Every single part of me, every good part of me, every bad part of me that he has hidden away forever, every time I've overcame, I owe it all to Jesus. That he's done every single work for me. That through his love, I have inherited a whole paradise of land. That my feelings wage war against my faith and don't allow me to reap the benefits of what Jesus has already paid for me to get. And see, that son, he had done wrong to his father, but his father never changed his love for him. When he had abandoned his father because of his wrong, his father wrote him letters, but he wouldn't even open a letter because he thought that it was just going to remind him of what he had done wrong. But all those letters were love letters. A lot of the times in life, we feel unworthy to receive God's love. "Well, I'm going to pray," or somebody prays for you, you're like, "Thank you. You know, I really need it." But you leave not receiving that because your feelings are telling you you're not worthy of it. And the father never stopped sending love letters to you. When his father died, instead of it just being his father wanting to give, his father now died. So legally, it became the son's. So now the son has nothing. What is he going to do? His son came back moved with compassion, thinking, "What have I done?" Now he inherits everything that his father had done, and the servant gave his life just to build up that garden and everything that he had, just to see that interaction, that his son gets to have those benefits. A lot of times in life, we go through feelings that torment us. for days and weeks and weeks. And we pray, but we don't feel reassured. We call out to God, but we don't feel reassured. We know we have a calling our life, but we don't feel that calling manifesting. We know, God, you've told me good things are coming, but we don't feel those things. And a lot of the times, feelings can be tricky because there's some times where we feel on fire. I feel the passion and the zeal for the Lord. I feel like I can go pray and see miracles. I feel like when I speak, he's hearing me. But all these feelings are nothing. The way we have to live is by faith. We have to live in faith constantly at all times. And not just in faith of my connection with God, but faith that who God says I am, I am. You know, a lot of the times I speak to young men or men around my age, and I know women deal with this. They just keep it in private. But let glory come to God, because I don't hold nothing back. I want God to reach every dark part of my life, because I owe it to Jesus. I owe it to Jesus, all of it, because I can't overcome nothing. Everything is to the Lord Jesus Christ because of what he's done and the patience he's taken with me. A lot of the times in life we deal with lust. We see something and the flesh wants it. So we deal with lust, sexual lust. And I talk to these men and I think, okay, Father, how did you deliver me from this? I realized I didn't associate with that feeling. Okay, so I can feel happy, right? But 30,000 people could have died that day. Does that change the 30,000 people dying? Does that change my happiness? No. It's just a feeling I'm having at the moment. So if I have lust and I think, man, I'm looking at this person. I want that. But that's not me. I want that. You begin to feel like those feelings are who you are. That's living in feeling. But Christ says, what I've done is enough. I have made you accepted in the beloved. So when the scriptures say that you're without blemish, you feel no way. Hands down, no way am I without blemish. I know I'm wrong. But the word says I'm without blemish. And what our mind tries to do is feel our way to without blemish. Does that make sense? We're trying to feel like a worm. He's trying to feel his way to an apple underground. We cannot feel our way to without a blemish. We have to live in faith that I am what God says I am. I am what Christ says I am. And this will begin a work in your life that allows us to overcome our feelings. So say feelings. We've all heard this expression. There's a dog and another dog. They're both chained up. Let's say one of them's feeling and one of them's faith. If I feed my feelings, at the end of it, who's gonna be healthier? My feelings. And my faith is going to be over here sad and depleted. And if they come unchained, my feelings are going to attack my faith, and my faith doesn't have that much of a good stance. So if I say I have a sexual thought about somebody, this is for men and women. We deal with this. I don't care what you say. I do not care what you say. If you have this feeling, and here, let me clarify this to you. You're not alone. It gets worse. It will go to step families. It'll go to pastors, people in your church. It'll go to people on TV. It'll go through friends. It doesn't have a limit if we feed that feeling. And what you might think is, if I have that, that's who I am. I'm telling you now, your faith overcomes that. So when a thought arises in your mind, man, I feel like they're good looking. Man, I can feel more than that. And then you begin to imagine. Then what the devil does is he says, what Jesus did, it wasn't enough because you're still feeling this. So then you begin to believe him. I am these thoughts and feelings. And that literally almost blasphemes the Holy Spirit. Because it's saying, hey, what Christ did wasn't enough. I'm going to associate with what the devil was saying. Christ paid for you to be justified. He died. You died with him. He paid the price in hell. Once you were declared righteous by God, he was resurrected. He didn't come out of the grave until you were declared righteous. Then he lifted on high and seated. So you became righteous after he paid the price. I heard this analogy. If somebody loved you dearly and decided to go do time for you, and you had a crime, when would you be justified completely? You would be justified after they finished their time and got out. Because you know, well, I can't be drugged into court. Christ came out justified right then. So when your feelings creep in of sexual desires, you have to not associate with that and say what Jesus did was enough. So I am not this thought. I am without blemish. That's faith. This is where faith begins to move in lust. So when you fall to lust and you masturbate or you look at somebody over and over and over and over again, of course, Father, forgive me. But I don't want, faith doesn't have us praying, trying to obtain forgiveness. Faith prays that you are forgiven. Faith prays that I am without blemish. Faith prays that no matter what I feel, I am right with you. You say, okay, Nick, this is hard to understand. If we go to Hebrews 10, it says, for by one offering he has perfected forever. I'm just going to pause right there. One offering was what? Christ. He was the offering. It's comparing him to the lamb. Yearly, the worshipers would sacrifice an offering for the year's sins. And it brought back their sin conscious. He's the one offering forever that can erase the sin conscious and erase you clean forever by faith. Okay? So for by one offering he has perfected, past tense, forever, that's a continuation, those who are being sanctified. While you're being sanctified, you're growing. You fail. You grow. Things are getting weeded out. You say, hey, I'm feeling a lot more angry than I usually am. 2 weeks ago, I wasn't this angry. Am I backsliding? No. God is bringing out and sanctifying you. I don't feel passionate like I did 2 months ago. People aren't telling me they see God in me like they did 2 months ago. You're being sanctified. But a good news is, sanctification, first off, is good news. Hallelujah. Because later on down the line, it's going to work its way out for a certain ministry and something you couldn't have done if you weren't sanctified. But you've been perfected forever. So I want you to think of this. In God's eyes, we have been perfected, perfect. Nothing is wrong with us forever. As we are being sanctified, the devil tries to flip this verse in your feelings and say, if you are being sanctified, you can become perfected forever. You see?
Gives you the question, the if.
He wants to flip this into a feeling. Do you feel perfect? Do you feel sanctified? Do you feel like you've reached something? That's not faith. So with lust, and you're having these imaginations, you're falling into lust, you need to declare you're perfect in Christ's eyes. That is a way we can act of an offense of faith. I'm going on the offense with faith. I am righteous in Christ right after you've done masturbated, right after you've done imagine somebody. I am the righteousness of God in Christ because what Jesus did, his blood that was shed, perfected me forevermore. I am without blemish. These things also lead into anger. Every place the enemy tries to hit you, it's always really nitpicky. He wants to, how would you say? He wants to get real magnifying glass on your life and call out your righteous living. This is not how we become righteous. Everything that was done is done. Now we're perfected. Christ paid the price. The only way we can be righteous is by faith. So when he comes into anger, he tries to say, look how angry you are with them. Do you feel that inside of you? That's not of God. You're not like you used to be. You're on a backslide. That is feeling versus faith. My faith is I'm perfected forever. My faith is I have the love of Christ. So then when you get into situations where you're going back and forth with somebody and you feel upset with somebody, your feelings tell you, this person is annoying me bad. If they don't shut their mouth, I'm about to react. Because of what they did, now I'm justified to react. That's a feeling. How can I triumph that? How can I beat that? You think, well, I have to obtain more patience. I have to do more things. No, you have to believe that you inherited patience already. It's the gifts of the Holy Spirit. The fruits of the Spirit is patience, right? Long-suffering. I have already obtained it. I believe I have obtained that. So by your faith, you say, Christ, you have already strengthened me already to have patience with this person. Mm-hmm. So now I have faith that I am patient. I am loving. I am just like you, Jesus. Your feelings say you have to obtain patience, obtain love, obtain a victory over lust, obtain a victory over imaginations, obtain a victory over anger. That is a feeling. So you have to walk in faith that I have already been perfected. I am hidden in the beloved. I am already here. My faith begins to triumph and kick feelings in the face. I've gone through a whole month worth of feelings, and they have done me no good. All they have done is ran me in a circle over and over and over and over again. So I want to talk about faith, that what I'm going through has already been written. So, and you see I'm looking at these notes. I don't ever bring notes because I just don't want to sidetrack. I want to hit a couple things. What you're going through now. So this is faith actively in how I act. I believe I'm perfected. I believe I am without blemish. I believe I'm patient, loving, kind, caring. I believe I am the image of Christ. You have to have faith in that area. Faith isn't, let me use this, believing is, I believe this cup's here because I see it. Faith is, I don't see the cup, but I'm saying this is fact, so I know that cup is there. So when you don't see it produced in your life, you have to have faith that it is there. That is the only way you can obtain it. Because you can't wait for a cup to appear by saying, man, I need a cup. Man, I need a cup. Man, I need a cup. You can't. You have to believe. And this is spiritual. That's why the natural can't comprehend it.
Come on.
You can't comprehend. That's why it's so aggravating to us, because we feel like, oh, man, I want, I want, I want. I need to feel like I'm this. And Christ is saying, no, you are already that. Now walk in that faith, even when all your feelings are against you. So I'm going to say this before I move on. Judy, we all know Sister Judy, Judy Gifford. She had told a story one day that had caught my eye, and she said that she kept hearing the devil. Wow. And we all hear it. Mm-hmm. We all hear him. I hear him every single day. He just runs his mouth at me. Yeah. And sometimes his voice is way loud. And I can't help that. And that doesn't mean I'm any less than somebody. And if I make a mistake, I'm still not less. Guess what? I'm perfected forever because of this, not because of what y'all think I am. Not because of what I think I am. Not because what he says I am. I'm perfected because what he did. So Christ has already paid the price for me. But she said she heard the devil so loud, so much. And she was losing it. And she said, Father, just take his voice away from me. And she said, the Lord spoke, said, no, I won't take him away. I want you to be able to hear him and not acknowledge him. On the line. This is where I got from it. So she could probably say something a little different specifically. But what I got from it was, a lot of the times in life, we have to hear that yapping so that we can know that yapping isn't who we are. And we can get used to the yapping so we can move in effectiveness. Because if we never heard this, we can move effective. That's when people are like, man, I'm feeling great. I'm on fire. Hallelujah. We are here doing this. God wants us to be able to move in that power and authority while we hear the yapping.
Come on.
Look at Jesus in temptation. Look, when the devil comes to him, he's moving in effectiveness because he's able to speak the word. He's able to move, bow, 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 while the devil's still there yapping. And look what the devil hits. If you are the Son of Man, if you are, Monica, if you are a child of God, he's always coming for your identity.
Come on.
He's always hitting your identity because he wants you to feel less than. What did Christ have to prove to himself that he was the Son of Man? Nothing but the word of Jesus, the word of the Holy Spirit in his heart. All we have is our faith in our heart. And the devil wants to attack us quickly with our feelings. How do you feel today, Tina? How do you feel today, Monica? That ain't Jesus, you know? That's where he hits us. Bow, bow, bow. And we have to realize he's coming for our identity because he doesn't want us to move in faith. If he can shake your faith and bring it to a feeling, he knows you're not on stable ground. So when you fight him with your feelings and you fight those feelings, you have to fight him with faith. What I'm seeing isn't what this tells me. But this tells me I can believe I'm what this tells me. And then that's when we began to destroy the works of the enemy. So lust will start to lose its place in your life when you begin to declare your righteousness. I am not a lustful man. I am the righteousness of God in Christ. I am not an angry person. I am loving and kind because that is who Christ is. You begin to speak against that and walk inside of your faith, then your feelings become less and less. And guarantee you, sometimes they're going to become more and more. But it's just to acquire more power and authority. You see what I'm saying? Imagine speaking in 2-3 people in the room. It's easy. But then you go to a stadium and there's 30,000 people. How much harder is that? We have to begin with one. Then we can move to 2-3. Then we have to be prepared to get into a stadium with 30,000 people. Not physically, sometimes physically, but spiritually. We have to be able to continue to move in our fire and authority even while we're here.